It's a wonderful season of harvest, isn't it? I try to wear a tie collar that looked like a fruit. The title of today's message is Abide in My Love. Abide in My Love. I don't know whether you noticed when Pastor Tim was reading today's text, you hear it, abide, 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 11 times. 11 times. Okay? And I don't know whether you heard it, but probably you heard love, 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 love 9 times. Do you think Jesus is about to say something to his disciples? Absolutely. Okay? When you say about it, abide in my love, it is a plea and cry and a command of our Lord Jesus, who is the sovereign Lord. This is not just a suggestion. This is not a, our casual saying of, saying I love you. But this is the sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. Last Friday, we had a study on the topic of glory of God in our attributes of God studies. And I really wish you could all participate. And I really mean it because it is so good. It is so good. And one of the ways the Bible uses the expression, the glory of God, is when he's present. When he's present as a pillar of cloud, pillar of fire in Exodus, or above the tabernacle in the desert, like a cloud hovering, or the Shekinah glory that fills the temple of Solomon's temple, Jerusalem temple. But it meant the presence of the Lord. Now, hear me out. But because of the Israelites were disobedient, exchanging the glory of God with things of this earth, just like Romans chapter 1, glory departed. And the temple was empty. There was no God in the temple. But amazingly, God continues to promise that, well, the glory will return. And it will fill the temple through the prophets like Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. And, even after the judgment, after the exile of 70 years in Babylon, they came back to the city of God, Jerusalem, and built the temple. But the glory never returned. And that's how Old Testament ends. And the New Testament begins, and amazingly, it wasn't the Shekinah, it wasn't the cloud, but it was the sovereign Lord himself. And he came upon this earth, and he said, destroy that temple, for I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days, which is a staggering statement. Especially to the Jews, especially to those who believed the temple is the place where God dwells. And basically, Jesus comes along and said to the religious leaders, destroy this temple. I'm going to rebuild it in 3 days. I am the temple. I am the glorious temple. It is that sovereign Lord telling you and I, abide in me. Okay, abide in me. Okay, It's a plea, cry, command of our Lord, who is sovereign, to whom he loves. And I was preparing for today, and I want to say to you, if you could just look at me, Lord loves you, every single one of you. He loves you. Agapao you. It's not just, we're going to talk about this love. It's not just casual love. It's not conditional love. It is not changing love. But it is agape love, which we will talk about. So, to whom would you say this to? Abide in my love. Remain in my love. Stay with me. To whom you love with all of your heart. And Jesus has already shown and demonstrated this greatest love of all. Whitney Houston? Yeah. You know that song? I don't know whether she meant it. I don't think the lyric is, But she was a preacher's daughter. You know that, right? But the greatest love of all, we read it today, clearly demonstrated on Calvary. There is no greater love than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Can you even imagine God calling you and I friends? How could that be possible? But that is the greatest love that was demonstrated. And he's pleading and crying and commanding to remain in my love so that you will live. Okay. Option is not, oh, it's great if you remain in his love, and if you don't, it's okay. It's not okay. Jesus is saying, you will die. Can you imagine a branch not attached to a living tree? Dry stick. Lifeless dry stick. You are and I am grafted to the living olive tree. Romans chapter 11. Okay. In John chapter 15, when we are talking about this, I am the vine and you are the branches, he's claiming that he is the Yahweh of Exodus chapter 3, seventh I am statement of John's gospel, and it is the best analogy of Christian life or Christian living. It has to be the best analogy. The more I think about it, the living union of Christ and Christians, probably the best analogy is this analogy of a vine and a branch or branches. You can never be detached. Moment you are separated, you are not a living branch anymore. You're not. And can you think with me at the same time? Can you imagine a branch that is like partially attached to the tree? 50%? Is that one alive or dead? I'll let you answer that, okay? Last week, we discussed three things. Number one, the significance of the fruit and fruitfulness. Why is fruitfulness and fruit important? Verse 8, because by this, Father is glorified, and it proves that you are true disciples. True Christians. Okay, we established that. There are branches in me who bears fruit, and there are branches in me that does not bear any fruits in me. Clearly, we talked about that. True disciples, true Christians versus pseudo-Christians and Christianity. We talked about that. How do we live in a fruitful Christian living then? We talked about, that was the second topic. How do we do that? And it is by abiding in him. Now, what does that look like? And I found this verse in Romans chapter 11. Strange place, because Paul is talking about Israel, the ethnic Israel. Did God abandon Israelites? Of course not. Of course not. And he explains, and he's speaking to the Gentile Christians. That's you and me. Okay, that's all of you and me, okay? And basically, this is what Paul wrote, and God said, if the root is holy, so are the branches. Do you hear it? If you abide in Christ, if the root is holy, who Christ is, you are holy. But on wild olive tree, referring to the Gentiles, were grafted. We sang it today, didn't we? Right? We sang it. We were grafted in among the others, now share in the nourishing sap. You know what a sap is, right? From the root, that life and that liquid, that nutrient that flows into the branches. And that's the only life that flows. And Jesus, the Bible is saying, Christ is the root and you are the branches. That, I think, just kind of really put things into perspective. Okay? So today, we continue with the second message on Christian living. Are you living a Christian life? Or are you living a religious life? Okay? Where Jesus speaks the tone from abide in me in vine and branch expression to abide in my love. So if you notice, instead of saying abide in me, now he's saying abide in my love. And the word love shows up 9 times, and every time it is agapao, agape word. So what does that mean? Today, looking at 4 verses, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Okay, there is delicious looking, right? Okay. Only looking at four verses, and I ask you to think about, if you abide in Christ, what fruits would you bear in your life? I don't know whether you thought about that. I hope you did, right? And we're going to answer those that question with those four verses. Okay? What are the fruits if you abide in Christ? And my outline is my love, my obedience, my joy, and more of Jesus. That's the outline. Let me repeat that. My love, verse 9. My obedience, verse 10. And my joy, verse 11. And more of Jesus, the rest of the verses. So let's begin. Verse 9. Okay, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, and abide in my love. And if you notice, if you listen carefully, Jesus is not pleading and commanding, abide in my love first. If you notice the order, he talks about what kind of love he's referring to. He talks about agape, just as my Father has loved me. What kind of love is that? What intensity, what duration, what condition, what kind of love is that? We're going to talk about this. Agape love. And then, you know what he does? Before he tells you to remain in my love, he expresses that I have loved you. Have I loved you? With what kind of love? The same kind of love that Father has loved me. That's a huge love. That's a great love. That's the greatest love. And then he says, now abide in me, abide in me. This is sovereign talking. He's talking about the agape love between Father and the Son of Trinity. And with that same love, I have loved you. The word is, as Father has loved me. Kathos, just as he loved, I have loved you. So before the imperative, before the plea, before the cry, Jesus confesses his love to his disciples. Do you hear his confession ever? He loves you. Christianity is not do this, do that, and then you will feel better. Do this, do that, and if you reach to a certain limit, you are in. That's not Christianity. It's God's love. And it is not just verbal love, but it is love that has demonstrated, started from eternity past to eternity. Okay? Can we talk about agape? The love between Father and the Son. I know theological thinking, contemplation of who God is the greatest thinking as a human being. Right? So let's try to think about the love between Father and the Son as best as we can within the domain, within the boundary of the scripture. It's from eternity to eternity. Right? It is inseparable love between the Father and the Son. You cannot separate them. Absolutely not. No, nobody could even try. It is also immutable, unchanging. It's not like human love. Human love changes, right? Today I'm your friend, tomorrow I'm your enemy. Today I'm your husband, and tomorrow I'm your enemy. That's not God's love. It's immutable, indestructible, and it is pure. There is no hidden motive. If I do this, he's going to do this for me. It's not that kind of love. It's holy love, and it is mutual love between Father and the Son. And Jesus is saying, just as Father has loved me with agape, so I have loved you. Can we try to think about that? Does that apply? Eternity to eternity? Bible says, before the foundation of the world, I have loved you. Till when? To eternity. So it applies. Is this separable, the love between God and his people? Bible clearly says, there's nothing, for I'm convinced, nothing in this world, for whether it is, life or death, or angels, no demons, present, no future, height, or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And his love for you, immutable, changing, unchanging, it's never changing. So it applies. Indestructible. Nobody can do that. It is pure. It is holy. And it is mutual. It is mutual. Do you love him? I think that's a fair question. Do you love him? Right? So, my love is the sap, living sap, from the root, through the trunk, into the branches. What do you think you'll bear as fruits? If the love just continue to just pulsate, infiltrating, inner penetration into the branches in your life and your heart, what fruits would you bear? And if you notice, the way he speaks in the English language or the original language is that it is in perfect tense. My Father has loved me, so have I loved you, referring to his perfect and complete love, right? Both written in perfect tense, perfect and complete sense. And that's the kind of love pulsating into your life if you abide in Christ. Once in a while? No. Just in the morning? No. Only on Sundays? No. Only when you read the Bible? No, no, no. Only when you're good? No. All the time. That's the tree and the branch relationship. Okay? And if you notice, the word abide, mano, and we've been talking about this word, which refers to the mutual indwelling or inner penetration between Father and the Son, which is a key word in John's gospel, shows up 11 times. Abide, abide, mutual in me. Okay? So let's think about the second fruit, and the second fruit is my obedience. And looking at verse 10, where is that word? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as, there's another kathos, just as I have kept my Father's commandment, which means it is already done, right? And abide in his love. So you do that. Just as I have kept and obey my Father's commandments and abide in his love, I want you to obey and remain in my love and abide in my love. I think that what we need to understand is what Jesus is saying is that out of the wellspring, overflowing love for Christ, you obey. That's Christianity. You don't reverse that. As if you continue to obey him, maybe you twist his arm so that he will give you love and you deserve to get love. That's not Christianity. As soon as you do that, that's a religion. Christianity, as I've been explaining all the time, is always from God to us and then from inside to outside. Now think with me. Outside to inside. Can it ever change your inside by outside? You could never do that, right? Can you possibly please God and meet the standard of perfection and infinite holiness of God by you trying it? You can never do that. That's religion. Christianity is always, he loved me, therefore I love him back. And because that love melt my heart, because that love transforms my heart, and I want to obey him. Do you see that? It's always like the waterfall. Waterfall. I love waterfall, right? Because I think it's one of the best picture of describing what grace is. Waterfall of God's grace, and then you're always going to see river. That's Christianity, people, from inside to outside, from God to us. So it is not obedience leading to love, but because he loves you and you're going to love him, and from the wellspring of love, you would want to obey him. Okay? The fountain and the origin of this dynamic of love to obedience is again, it flows and pulsates from the root and the sap and the tree of the vine into the branches. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you abiding in Christ? Okay. Do you have fruits in your life? Okay. Second fruit. How about the third fruit? I this is my favorite for today. And third fruit that Jesus wants to mention is my joy. My joy. Okay, looking at verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, my word, I've spoken to you. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. Okay, and that your joy may be full. You see the clear distinction. My joy may be in you. A few weeks ago, we talked about my peace I inherit to you, I give to you. And the joy of Jesus is different than the joy this world provides. Obviously, it is different. What about, the peace that Jesus gives is obviously different than the peace. The peace that we normally think about in our mind and in our soul is that we don't want any negative things in front of us. No headaches, no worries, no threats, nothing. Negative things present, absent is what peace is in the world. But when Jesus said, my peace I give to you, it is not that at all. It's the peace between you and God. Inside, to the core of your being. Can I ask you, is it possible to have peace in your life with yourself without peace with God? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do you have peace with God? What about the joy? Today, Jesus is saying, my joy may be in you if you abide in him. What kind of joy is that? It's the pure joy of Christ. Again, all these things applies. It's infinite joy. It's divine joy. It's lasting, eternal joy. Transcendent joy. Regardless. Tomorrow he's going to die. Tomorrow he's going to the cross. And he's saying, my joy I'm going to give to you. Now, interesting thing is the word joy is kara. Okay, and it shows up only once in the entire John's gospel. Only once in chapter 3. But it shows up 7 times in chapter 16. Chapter 16 is when he's about to die. When he was talking about giving birth. The world will rejoice, but you'll be sad. But when the woman gives birth, she forgets all about the pain because of the joy of having the child. That word shows up 7 times as he was ready to go to the cross. Isn't it interesting? So we're talking about completely different kind of joy. Liam Morris, one of the New Testament scholars, put it this way, if you could just listen. The joy of Jesus, my joy, is that arises from the sense of a finished work or obedience. This joy in the heart of Jesus is both the joy of victory and sense of having brought his church into being. Okay. That's his joy, people. To the joy that completes his obedience and bring his bride, his church, into being. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 12, 1 and 2 describes exactly what this is. Chapter 11, those of you who know the book of Hebrews, is the hall of fame of chapter of faith. You see all these Old Testament saints who lived by faith and lived the life that they lived. Start with Abraham, Isaac, like Joseph, and you get all these names. Hall of Fame, right? And then chapter 12 begins. Listen to this if you want to listen to what joy is. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large cloud of witnesses, all those Old Testament saints, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin so easily entangles. If you want to have joy of Jesus, you need to let us do that. Throw off everything that hinders and sin so easily entangles. Sin will suck the joy out of your life. It's like a parasite. And the picture here is marathon. And I just ask you, I know it's a ridiculous question. What do people who run marathon wear? Who run the marathon? What do they wear? Mink coat and leather jackets? Absolutely not. Minimum. If you carry so much in your life and try to run the race for Christ, you will never run it, number one. That's why let us throw off everything that hinders and sin so easily entangles. Sounds like pruning. Unless there is a pruning, there's going to be no joy in your life. Second thing, let us run the race that is marked out for us. God has set the race for us. Unless you are running on the track, you're not going to have his joy. That's what Jesus is saying. Are you listening? Third, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Unless your eyes are fixed upon the finish line, who Jesus is, you're not going to have joy. And then we talk about joy of Jesus in verse 2. Okay? Jesus, who for the joy set before him. We're talking about Jesus' joy. He endured the cross. In other words, the joy comes after finishing the cross. He, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising his shame, and now sat down at the right hand of God. In other words, Jesus run the race and finish because of the joy. Jesus' joy. What kind of joy is that? I think it is twofold. Number one, joy of obeying God, his Father. Can I just ask you? You don't have to answer this. Do you feel really joyful when you disobey? Or do you feel joyful when you obey? It's not a trick question, by the way, right? Jesus was obedient to the end. Why? Because he loved him. That was the joy. Toward the Father. And the second purpose and second reason of his joy was because of his bride. Because of the cross, he redeemed his bride, his church. And that's why he was joyful. And I think that kind of gives you the picture of what Jesus' joy is. And Jesus is saying, my joy may be full in you if you abide in me. Obeying God, and living for the lost and building his church. Leon Morris continues, the Christian life is not some shallow, insipid following of tradition or pattern of joy of this world. It is a life characterized by inexhaustible joy for the fresh saving of lives or creation or redemption. That's what the joy is. Do you desire that kind of divine joy? Would you rather just have joy of just having more, hanging out more, playing more, seeing more, eating more, wearing more kind of joy? Would you listen to this? And Jesus is saying, my joy may be in you. Okay? How do you have that joy? Abiding in him. And then I think this is very, very important. Joy that comes only as they are wholeheartedly abiding in him in obedience. Are you a branch that kind of barely hangs on? How could you have joy? Jesus is saying, abide in me. That's why he's saying, abide in me. Can you imagine a branch that kind of like 30% kind of like hanging on? Oh man, it's close to death, right? Practically dead. I think as a branch, you either hang on wholeheartedly or you don't. I think that's what Christianity is. You don't abide to the tree half-heartedly. And Leon Morris kind of ends, if you're a half-hearted person, you are going to get the worst of the both worlds. Your Christian life stinks and your secular life stinks. And I think it is absolutely right. Okay. So we talked about my love. We talked about my obedience. We talked about my joy. Is there more? I think one more, okay? And I titled that More of Jesus. If you think with me, because I've been thinking about this topic. If we are grafted onto Christ's tree, what kind of fruits would you bear in your life? Christ. More of Christ. Right? My joy, my love, and my peace. Wait a minute. That sounds like a list that we see in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. What are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? 9 things, right? Love, joy, peace. And we just talked about them. My joy, my love, my joy, and my peace. In other words, if you abide in Christ, you know what happens? Holy Spirit pulsate mutually into your life. Would you have fruits in your life if you do that? We're talking about internal transformation. We're talking about your inner person being changed. We're talking about his nature infiltrating into you. We call that, in theology, regeneration. That's what born again means. Your inside person changes. Okay? Your desire changes. Your heart changes. Your longing changes. Your character changes. And your everything changes inside. Christianity is always from inside to outside. Okay? What's going to happen? If your inside change, your outside obedient living will change. Can I just mention just a few things that you will see on the outside if you continue to abide in Christ? Just a few things, okay? Number one, verse 10. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know what's going to happen if you abide in Christ? You're going to love one another. You're going to love his people. You're going to love his church. That's what's going to change. You're going to start caring for the people. You're going to pay attention to the hurting people. You're going to pay attention to those who do not know Christ yet. You're going to pay attention to those people who are hurting. You're going to begin to take care of one another. Love one another. Just a couple more. What other external fruits would you see if your inside began to change with Christ spirit? John chapter 4, where we see the Samaritan woman's story, and this is what you see, okay? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, and it is white for harvest. You know what's going to happen? You're going to begin to see the harvest. Can I just ask you, during this lockdown, do you see the harvest? Or does it terrify you? I think Lord is moving right now. Lord is definitely drawing his people to himself right now, and you're going to see the harvest. How do you have the harvest? It is the truth and the harvesters, sowers and reapers. Jesus said, already the one who reaps is receiving the wage and gathering the fruit for eternal life. You know what kind of fruits you're going to see in your life if you abide in Christ? New converts, Christians, through your life, through this church. And I just pray that some of you may desire that. One more, okay? In fact, two more. Your giving will change. Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about Philippian church giving to his ministry and giving to the needy people. You know what's going to happen when you abide in Christ? Your desire to give will change. Jesus gave it all for you, right? To love is to give. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You're going to give to God, and you're going to give to the people. You don't spend everything on yourself. You don't spend all your time on yourself. You don't spend every money, every penny on yourself. You spend for him and for his people. Your giving will change. And lastly, just I want to add one more. If your inside change, you know what's going to change? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God on your lips. Your lips will change. Your language will change. It makes sense, right? If you're full of joy, what would you be speaking? You'll be speaking of the joy. You're full of thanksgiving. What would you be saying? Thanksgiving. Sacrifices of praise. Amazing fruits, people. And today, I just want to close with this question to all of you. Hopefully, this will speak to you. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you for real? Seriously. Are you living a Christian life? Or are you living a religious life? How do you suppose to know that? Fruits. Do you have internal fruits? Love, joy, peace. My love, my obedience, my joy, my peace. And if the root is holy, the branches will be holy. Totally makes sense, doesn't it? Are you abiding in Christ? Just as Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Would you listen? So I have loved you. Sovereign talking. Abide in me. Abide in me. Christian life is not a religious life that leads no fruit in your life. Fruit brings joy to the Father. And it also proves that you are my true disciples. And my prayer is that you'll be drawn to him. Abide in him. So that in your life you may have true fruits that will bring joy and glory to the Father. Let's pray.